RCR with Paul Brennan.
Time for this week's Perigo's Perspective. You know, it's always nice when someone comes back. You know, they return. They make a return journey. And Lindsay, I'm thinking about a return journey from space, thanks to the guy who's taking some heat right now, you know, Elon.
Yes, which is inexplicable. What is all that about? Musk derangement syndrome. It's as intense, I think, now as Trump derangement syndrome. And all the guy is doing is saving the American taxpayer heaps of money and bringing two astronauts who've been stranded for 9 months, whom Beijing Biden would have allowed to stay up there forever, bringing them back down to Earth, which has just happened in the Gulf of America.
I saw a clip from a flight that was flying, I think, into Dallas. They were going along, the captain came on and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to tell you that right now we're over the Gulf of," and he put this big long pause in, he said, "America." And you should have heard the applause on the plane.
Oh, bravo, bravo. What a great story.
Yeah, it was a good clip.
I mean, it's a great time to feel good because there's lots of reason to feel good. And you've got these idiots, these leftards, these scum who are destroying Teslas just to get at Elon. Just what is the matter with them? It's inconceivable. But then,
well, I think it's a mental illness. It's got to be.
Yeah. What did Elon himself call it? The woke mind virus. Mm. And then you have to take into account what they're taught, in inverted commas, in schools. And it's far worse than we imagine. I'll be touching on this a bit in my rant this morning. And it does produce grotesque monsters. And how the hell we're ever going to deprogram them, I don't know.
One of the funny things about the Tesla situation is that, and I saw a lot of them in Wellington, right? You know, instantly looking at them, the profile of the Tesla buyer, owner, driver, just by looking at them. But now they find themselves on the wrong side of their vehicle purchase, don't they?
Well, now they're selling them.
Yeah, or burning them.
Gas guzzlers.
Well, there's always the Nissan Leaf, but it doesn't quite have the look outside, you know, parked outside your Herne Bay property or Kandala property. So that's a funny one. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into it. Lindsay, your perspective.
What an infernal impertinence is old age. Just as one starts to get the hang of it all at last, one loses the capacity to do much about it. Just as life becomes more precious than ever, one realizes one will lose it quite soon. This morbid reflection is not based on fear of death. I agree with Mark Twain when he said that he was dead for billions of years before he was born, and he didn't suffer the slightest inconvenience from it. I agree with Epicurus when he said, "Where I am, death is not. Where death is, I am not." I agree with Ayn Rand when she said, "You're not there to say, oh, how terrible that I'm a corpse." No, it's based on this. Never before in my life have I been more curious to know what will happen next. And it's damnable that at some point soon I shall cease to find out. It may well be the intensity of the curiosity, indeed, that sees me off. Take, for instance, the mundane and parochial question of the National Party leadership. I've been alive for Sid Holland, Keith Holyoake, Jack Marshall, Rob Muldoon, Jim McClay, Jim Bolger, Jenny Shipley, Bill English, John Key, a couple of cameos whose names I forget, and Christopher Luxon. During my broadcasting career, I interviewed all of them from Holyoake on, except Luxon and the cameos whose names I forget. Many of them came to the leadership by rumbling their predecessor, not always in a manner that was cricket. Bulger's rumbling of McClay was not pretty at all. Now it is rumoured there will soon be another spill. Luxon is polling poorly, and there's not much chance of recovery. The part of me that realises they're all uniparty and what difference will any of it make says, have some more Shiraz. The part of me that remembers damn jabby jihadi Jacinda Jackboot, the Bengalian Marxist, says anything is better than that, and we should help find a leader for National who could fend off her odious successors, Hipkiss, McAnulty, et al., especially since they'll bring with them the Islamic Shoplifters Party of Aotearoa and Te Pāte Apartheid in a woke fascist tyranny even worse than the last one. But who? I punish myself by tuning into Question Time, and I can't see any contender at all among the Nats. Chris Bishop fancies himself, I don't doubt, but he's even wetter than Prissy Lux twat. At one point, at the height of Jackboot's tyranny, Bishop affirmed categorically that freedom of speech was not under threat in New Zealand. I suppose, from the perspective of those who like to tick DEI boxes, Nicola Willis might be the one. She's a woman, at least, even if she's not a Māori lesbian woman. From Perigo's perspective, which abominates DEI, she seems to have more balls than the men, but that bar is very low, if I may mix my metaphors. She does have balls, but they are not nearly big enough. On the Goebbels Award scale, she's a Goering or Himmler.
Hitler has only got one ball. Goering has two but very small. Hitler has something similar.
On the matter of box ticking, by the way, isn't it funny how when you simply appoint the best person for the job, the boxes somehow manage to tick themselves? Trump's Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, is gay. His chief troubleshooter, Rick Grenell, is gay. His Attorney General, Pam Bondi, is a woman. His Education Secretary, Linda McMahon, is a woman. His FBI head, Kash Patel, is Indian. His State Department spokeswoman, Tammy Bruce, is lesbian. His Housing Secretary, Scott Turner, is black. And so on and so on. All irrelevant. Simply the best person for the job, as it should be. Meritocracy. Back to Nicola and the coalition. We need Doge here. We need Trump and Musk and Big Balls and Linda McMahon and Kash Patel and Pam Bondi and Pete Hegseth and Tom Homan. We need a seismic attack on waste and fraud, which is most of government expenditure. We need to see whole ministries and departments abolished. We need to see the streets of Lambton Quay flooded with the tears of ex-public servants. We need to hear the shrieks of the entitled snowflakes and their hurt feelings as we hear them in America.
When you wake up or when you're on your weekend and you get the fork in the road message, or you get the subsequent five bullets, hey, what the hell did you do, you lazy federal worker, this week? How frightening is it that someone on X, the owner of X, speaks to you directly to say, what did you do last week at work? And if you don't answer, I am going to fire you. But even more egregious, the president comes out, the most powerful person in the land, and endorses that message.
For heaven's sakes, they're getting 8 months severance pay. They don't have to show up again. They're free to look for a new job immediately. And still they screech and scream. Back to Nicola. We're in an economic crisis, and tinkering won't cut it. Nicola is content merely to tinker. But her biggest disqualifier for me is that, like most contemporary women, she doesn't speak. She quacks. Her heart may be in the right place, but her voice isn't. It's in her nose, as was damn Jabby's. To paraphrase Professor Higgins, why can't the ladies learn to speak? Of course, the coalition could repair to one or both of its other two party leaders. And here, I think, I begin to glimpse the glimmerings of a suggestion, of a hint, of an intimation, of something that just might do the trick. Have a listen to this clip from Question Time, featuring Seymour, Peters, and Nicola. It displays Nicola's quacking. It also shows her heart's in the right place. Her face palm, when she realizes just what she said, is as endearing as it is hilarious. But on display also are characteristics of the other two that are pertinent to our discussion.
Can the Minister of Finance confirm that she's part of a coalition government where all three parties are wholly committed to delivering the levels of tax relief to the people promised it in the time frame it was promised by her all along? However, the government is also taking advice on how to more effectively and efficiently do so, and that taking advice and considering different perspectives is a strength, not a weakness.
That's right, and I would put to the member a way of summarising that is what New Zealanders care about is the size of the sausage, not how it's delivered, and how we will deliver it is... Mr. Speaker, it's been a year of bad quotes from me.
Well, Mr. Peters. Talking about a right sausage, did she hear Mr. Robinson's interjection when he shouted out? Did she hear Mr. Robinson's interjection when he shouted out, "You're not responsible for it"? And can she confirm that she's not responsible for his messes, isn't she grateful for that?
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the House, I think enough talk of messes, sausages and holes.
Thank you.
Nicola, I maintain, must learn to speak and to grow the shrinking sausage before being a leadership contender. Seymour, well, as you heard there, he's just too long-winded and laboured as yet, not ready for prime time. Besides, he's radically tainted by his support for Wuhan mandates and the World Economic Forum, and his timidity in the face of woke fascism. Winston showed that even at 78, Trump's age, he can still master the moment, be funny, and make a serious point. Let's listen again.
Can the Minister of Finance confirm that she's part of a coalition government where all three parties are wholly committed to delivering the levels of tax relief to the people promised it in the time frame it was promised by her all along? However, the government is also taking advice on how to more effectively and efficiently do so, and that taking advice and considering different perspectives is a strength, not a weakness.
That's right, and I would put to the member a way of summarising that is what New Zealanders care about is the size of the sausage, not how it's delivered, and how we will deliver it is... Mr. Speaker, it's been a year of bad quotes from me.
Well, Mr. Peters.
Talking about a right sausage... Did she hear Mr. Robinson's interjection when he shouted out? Did she hear Mr. Robinson's interjection when he shouted out, "You're not responsible for it"? And can she confirm that she's not responsible for his messes, isn't she grateful for that?
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the House, I think enough talk of messes, sausages and holes.
Thank you.
Winston is not tainted by Wuhan. Indeed, he's been something of a hero on Wuhan. Better yet, his party has a private members bill taking aim at DEI. New Zealand First is much better on woke garbage than ACT. Winston is tainted by the Global Migration Compact, by having enabled evil Jacinda in the first place, by the ongoing betrayal of Israel, and by his non-delivery after decades of promising to rid us of the blight of the Mahadi seats. But for all that, he's the best there is, the least bad, if you like. Therefore, the Perigo's Perspective solution to the coalition's woes is this: elevate Winston to the prime ministership for the remainder of the coalition's term. Let him indeed go down in history, as Muldoon predicted, New Zealand's first Maori prime minister. If doggedness and tenacity count for anything, he's earned it. And I suspect few would begrudge it to him. Let Prissy Chrissy Luxtwat remain as deputy prime minister, but he has to be a loyal deputy, no funny business. Let David focus on making school lunches run on time and on purging himself of Pfizer, Schwab and Soros and all the rest. Oh, and on helping Erica Stanford cleanse the Ministry of Miseducation of this sort of excrement sent to a concerned parent and grandparent. Quote, Kaya ora, kia ora. On the 10th of December 2024, we announced that Relationships and Sexuality Education, RSE, within the Health and Physical Education Learning Area of the New Zealand Curriculum, will be refreshed. This is part of the wider work program to update the national curriculum so it is knowledge-rich and grounded in the science of learning. The refresh of RSE also responds to new research from the Education Review Office, which finds there is too much inconsistency in what RSE is being taught and when. A revised development approach has been implemented for both the New Zealand curriculum and Te Marautanga o Aotearoa, allowing for regular review points and the engagement of different sector experts throughout. As part of the revised approach, we are transitioning to using smaller contributing groups for each development phase. These groups provide the expert knowledge required for curriculum development. While the ministry staff write the curriculum, contributing groups provide specialized knowledge for each development phase. Unquote. Blah, 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 blah. Woke speak if ever I heard it. Specialized knowledge, trans-Nazi propaganda, I should think. Come on, Erica and David, disestablish the Ministry of Miseducation and the Miseducation Review Office, the child molesters of the mind. Dump them, ditch them, doge them. When I was at school, tyranny was an enemy, and 1984 and Animal Farm were on the required reading list. Bring them back. Bring back Shakespeare and Keats and Shelley and Tennyson and the glory of the English language. Stop churning out zombies who will vote for tyrants. Here's some Tennyson on the subject I began with. May he reverberate again in the classrooms of our nation. Old age hath yet his honour and his toil. Death closes all, but something ere the end, some work of noble note may yet be done, not unbecoming men that strove with gods. The lights begin to twinkle from the rocks, the long day wanes, the slow moon climbs, the deep moans round with many voices. Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and, sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows. For my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die. It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the happy isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.